Now,
yep.
Can I pray for you, Will?
Please.
Father, we just thank you for Will and everything he is and everything he does. And we just pray that you will give him the words that will touch our hearts tonight. Open our hearts and our ears so that we will hear the message that you want to speak to us through Will this evening. Amen.
Amen. Well, for those of you who haven't been here for the last couple of Sundays, we're in the book of Daniel. I'm loving this series, absolutely loving it. But if I were to say to you tonight, the force be with you, you'd know which film it came from, wouldn't you? Correct. How about, this is one for the more mature here, here's looking at you, kid. Casablanca. Okay, and what about Make My Day? Dirty Harry? Yeah. Martini Shaker Not Stirred. Yeah. I know I'm that vintage. It's Sean Connery for me. Yeah, James Bond. And how about Houston, We Have a Problem? Apollo 13, correct. And one for the youngsters or the young at heart, To Infinity and Beyond. Yes, Toy Story. Now, while some of you are no doubt sitting there and thinking, quite frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, let me throw out a few more cultural one-liners and see if you know where they come from. The writing is on the wall. You've been weighed and found wanting. Your days have been numbered. Sound familiar? Do you know the film? Actually, it's not in a film. Don't think about it too long. Because those come from a particular section in the Bible. And it's Daniel chapter 5. So that's where we're going to be looking at tonight. And so this series is all about chasing faith and experiencing success. It's how can you cling. How can you chase your faith, stay close to your faith, whilst at the same time be successful? And it's really tough. It's really, really tough. You only have to think of the news this week. Rebecca Long Bailey, a Labour leader contender who is Roman Catholic, shock of all shocks, happened to let it be known that she didn't support abortion up until birth for Down syndrome babies. And the media immediately leapt on her, and she had to sort of retract what she said and row back. So it's really tough out there, clinging to your faith, holding to what you know is right, whilst at the same time being successful. So we're looking at this by looking at a man called Daniel in the book by that name. And just a little bit of background, perhaps for those of you who haven't been here. So Daniel was an Israelite. He was taken captive by the Babylonians when they conquered Israel, but given the chance to prove himself by working in the very high echelons of the Babylonian government. And my goodness me, he did prove himself. And when we last left Daniel, he was second only to the king, put in charge of managing all of Babylon. I've been just so enjoying talking about Babylon. Of course, I was there this time last year, actually in Babylon, or what remains of it. It's a big place. And he survived, and indeed he thrived, despite everything in Babylon being antagonistic to his faith. Time after time, his faith ran counter to his climb up the ladder of success. Yet every time he stayed true to his faith, even at the risk of losing everything, God showed up and brought him even more success. So we've been walking through his life story and looking for the principles so that we can apply them to our own lives. So just as a recap for the last couple of Sundays, one I looked at two Sundays ago, if you're a Christ follower, remember the importance of being in the world, but not of the world. Remember to resolve in your heart what you know you cannot do, what you must not do that would compromise your faith before the moment of choice, so you're prepared. And the importance of knowing that if you honor God, Even in the face of potential setback, God will honor you. And then Max looked wonderfully last Sunday at prayer, amongst other things. And so when you're in that moment where you're kind of thinking to yourself, oh, only God can sort this mess out, that's when you turn to the God that can sort that mess out in prayer. And through it all, when it comes to what you put first, whether it's pursuing faith or pursuing success, you always put pursuing faith first and trust in the Lord to bring you the success. So anyway, that's the background. Tonight, we come to another installment. Really excited about this. More principles to think about. And the next scene is a bit of a time jump, because what we were looking at for the last couple of Sundays, that was Daniel under King Nebuchadnezzar, who died in the year 562 BC. And now in Daniel chapter 5, it takes place in 539 BC. So 23 years later, and a new king and a new situation. And a quick bit of background, what was going on. So the new king is called Belshazzar. His father was the true king, but for whatever reason, he'd gone off, he'd moved away and named his son Belshazzar his like co-regent, essentially to run things in his absence. And things weren't going well in Babylon. In fact, the Babylonians were surrounded by the Medes, who were planning to attack the city in an effort to conquer the entire Babylonian Empire. And rather bizarrely, as the Medes were preparing to attack, for some unknown reason, Belshazzar decides to throw a massive party. So let me read you the scripture. So we're starting at the beginning of chapter 5. There's quite a lot. It's a long chapter, so I'm going to kind of skim read it. I may paraphrase, so do have it open on your pew Bible so you can make sure I'm kind of sticking to the gist of it. So chapter 5, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and they all drank from them, and as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Now, when we last left Daniel, the king of that time had acknowledged that Daniel's God was the God. That was a great lesson for Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel had been promoted to be governor of Babylon itself, second only to the king. But here we are, 23 years later, and there's no sign of Daniel. There's no sign that the new king had any respect for Daniel's God. In fact, what he's doing here is he's showing a complete lack of respect for Daniel's God. He purposefully, it was great at the 9:30 because I had communion set out here, so we were pretending our stainless steel goblets were, we were imagining them as being these beautiful golden goblets pinched from the temple in Jerusalem. But he calls for all this gold and silverware out of the temple of Israel to be bought to his party. These were items that had been set apart for the worship of the one true living God. So he brings them out and he desecrates them by using them in his own drunken orgy. And that's exactly what it was. And not only that, he uses them to worship his own idols of wood and bronze and stone, etc. So let's find out what happens next, because what we do know is God was not happy with this. And just to paraphrase, suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. A picture, Rembrandt's interpretation of this is going to come up on the screen now. His face turned pale. And he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. I mean, this is something straight out of a Stephen King novel, isn't it? So what happens next? Verse 7. The king summoned the enchanters, the astrologers, and the diviners. Then he said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck and will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew even more pale, and his nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "May the king live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of them," blah, 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 blah. "He did this because Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel's now back in the picture. We don't know where he's been for these 23 years. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Obviously, he's been removed from his position of influence. Otherwise, he would have been there at the party, and certainly Belshazzar would have known all about him. He'd completely forgotten. He had no idea who this guy Daniel was. But there were still some who remembered why Daniel had been elevated by Nebuchadnezzar in the first place. People remembered that Daniel was wise, discerning, clever, capable, and that God had gifted him with these with the ability to interpret dreams and other signs from God. He was still known by many for his faith in God, God's power in his life, a result of that faith, and his God-given abilities as counselor, administrator, and leader. Even 23 years removed from his previous position. And the reason is very simple. When Daniel was removed from his position, when he was effectively demoted and sidelined, nothing changed in regards to his faith. He was still known and respected as a man of God. And that's an important point. That's a keen lesson from his life for our own. It was because he was faithful when out of the limelight, when success wasn't coming his way, when he'd lost his position, when that he was remembered and brought back into an opportunity for high position again. Now, all of us will experience setbacks in our lives. Churchill's life is a classic example. Out in the wilderness for many years, and then brought back in 1940 to be the Prime Minister, a job that, quite frankly, no one else could have done even a fraction as well at. Life has its ups and downs. It is never plain sailing. If you were to draw a graph of your kind of progress, your success through life, we all know, anybody who's been around the block a few times will know, it's not just a straight line. It's ups and downs, successes, failures, achievements, losses. That's how life looks. What sets lives apart is what we do in the valleys, what we do in those inevitable downturns. Because what happens down there sets us up for the next climb. Or, if we don't take advantage of it, it can cement our stay in the valley. Now, valleys don't have to be setbacks or downfalls or failure. They can be a place or a stage in life that you just want to change. You want to leave. It could be a job that's a perfectly reasonable job, but actually for different reasons you're just wanting to move on and try something different. But if all you're thinking about is leaving that season as fast as possible, instead of how to live in that season, so that you do leave it eventually, you're going to run into problems. Now, I remember when I was widowed, I was desperate to get out of the valley, so to speak, of singleness. You know, I'd had a fantastic marriage. I loved being married. And, you know, quite frankly, I couldn't get remarried fast enough. And that was all I was focused on, is finding someone else to remarry. And it caused me no end of disasters. What I should have done is thought to myself, I'm in a valley here. I'm going to make best use of this time to sort myself out, to get my grieving over with, and in a sense to develop myself, to develop my character in such a way that I become the man that somebody else might possibly want to marry. Do you see the mistake I made? I didn't make use of that time in the valley. I neglected to make the most of that valley by getting to know myself better. Now, I don't know if you are in a valley or a downturn right now, and if you are, why you are. Some of you I know are in a valley, in a dark place at the moment. All I know, though, is handling it is as important, if not more important, than getting out of it. Because if you handle it well, that's how you get out of it. If you're in that valley, what's important is to treat your time in that valley as a time of faithfulness, of trust, of patience. I don't like that word. I really struggle with being patient. And with development. Because who you are in the valley will determine whether you will ever find yourself back on top of that mountain. The key to your future isn't what is to come. The key to your future is how you are handling the here and now. So if you're one of those people, and I'm putting my hands up to this, who's always looking over to the next mountain and saying, you know, my life's going to be great when. My life's going to be just fantastic if. You're missing the point. You're risking staying miserable forever. So Daniel's lesson for us here is to make the most of the valley times that we pass through, and don't just try and escape from them. So that's my first point. One more point to go. So what happens next? Verses 13 to 16. And this is when Daniel is brought before the king, and the king explains the situation and offers him all these great gifts and stuff. Then verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the nations and peoples of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. Those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from the people and given the mind of an animal." So this is when he had a breakdown and just lived on his own out in the wilds. "Until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and sets over them anyone he wishes." Verse 22, "But you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all of this. Instead, you've set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines, drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron and wood and of stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. Now, if you had been demoted, sidelined in your big corporation, and after 23 years working in the post room, the CEO rings you and summons you, this is probably not the way you would go about getting reinstated, is it? Okay? But if you're going to chase faith, you're never going to shy away from letting the world feel the weight of who you are and what you stand for, or the depth of your convictions, or the power of truth that courses through your veins, or the God that you stand alongside. If you are a person of faith, you're going to speak truth to power. That doesn't mean just speaking your mind whenever you want or you feel like it. It doesn't mean being disrespectful or belligerent. It doesn't mean making sure everyone knows you disagree with a decision. It doesn't mean you throw your faith and convictions around in an obnoxious, pushy way. We all can't stand people like that. It just means that when asked to speak truth, when given the opportunity to speak truth, when truth is most called for, and God has clearly placed you in that situation where you can be that presence, that voice, that prophetic word, you speak it. You speak truth to power. You speak truth to opportunity. You speak truth to life, no matter the cost. And that Labour politician has discovered there's a cost of speaking truth to power. She now, Rebecca Long Bailey, now needs to just trust in God to bring her the success, perhaps in another season. Chasing faith means that you aren't afraid to bring a moral, spiritual voice to a problem or challenge or situation. And then trust that speaking truth is just the best way ahead, that it will serve, that it is offering something of substance, that you're bringing something to the table that the table doesn't already have and desperately needs. And that is what Daniel did. He speaks truth that should have had him executed on the spot. Verses 26 to 28. Many. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Daniel told the king that he was done for. I mean, talk about being able to hear a pin drop. God's judgment had come. The king was about to lose everything. I suspect Daniel probably thought he was about to lose his head as well. Belshazzar would not only lose his position as king, but the entire Babylonian empire would come to an end. A 1,000-person drunken orgy brought to a standstill. Can you just imagine that for a moment? Everyone hanging on to Daniel's very last word. I could just imagine turning around to, if I was there with Lucia, and saying, darling, what did you just hear Daniel say? She said, I think I just heard him say, no, he can't have said that. No, 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 because that's just going to get him killed instantly. And then everyone would have waited to see how the king would have reacted, expecting the guards execute him. But what happens next is astounding. Instead of execution, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. And here is how the night played out. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. So here you have Daniel with a new king in place. Sounds like I'm teeing up next Sunday's final talk in this riveting installment from Daniel. But as we close, and as the band make their way up, here are the two lessons that I want you to remember and take home with you tonight. How we live out our valleys determines whether we will stand on the mountain. Okay, how we live out these valley times will determine whether we will stand on the mountain. Speaking truth to power, letting the world feel the weight of who we are, the passion of our gospel zeal, our desire to contend for the gospel, can be exactly what the world and our position in it most needs. Please stand. Let's just pray as Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the awesome example Daniel is to each and every one of us. And Lord, I just want to pray for the people who are here tonight who are in a valley. Lord, you know who they are. Lord, there are people here tonight just dreaming of being out of this wretched, dark valley, desperate to be back on that mountaintop. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight for whom that resonates, would you minister to them now by the power of your Holy Spirit? Lord, as you sent that hand to write on the wall, would you send your Holy Spirit now to minister to anybody who's in that valley in the here and the now? Would you give them an attitude of patience, of truth, of expectancy? May they be open to developing their characters through these times of trial. Lord, we stand here before you. We trust in you, Jesus Christ, the healer, the author of salvation, the lover of our souls, to come now and minister to us by your Holy Spirit.